Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're not going to stay on this subject.
Right.
We're just getting slammed. Are we getting slammed by our listeners?
Some of our Facebook listeners.
Okay. We pooled our ignorance
in the last segment. We were talking about the story.
It wasn't all ignorance. Some of it was common sense.
About the miniature horses being used as surface animals. Now, Melinda, you kind of went off on us a little bit.
Yeah.
She said an emotional support animal is not the same thing as a service animal. Check your facts. Melinda's right because we looked it up. And this is service animals. So, like if you're blind and you need a, what we used to call a seeing eye dog. That's a service animal. So now it appears like we're making fun of. We're not making fun of disabled people.
No.
We had switched them. We thought these were emotional support animals.
Now, miniature horses.
Debbie also explained on Facebook that this is a blind lady that has a mini horse. She lives on a farm. And it taught him how to help her. She said she can't get around without him. So that's a little bit different story. We do apologize, folks. We were not trying to make fun of people with disabilities who need an animal.
But I'm saying if you need emotional support from a horse, don't get on the plane.
Right. That's what we were getting at. But our sharp listeners pointed out we were wrong.
Because it creates real problems for everybody else. If I'm in the back of the plane, I don't want to see. I don't want to see a horse coming down the aisle.
Right.
Getting ready to sit by me. What do you say, Walker?
Well, I'm a little resistant to the horse, even if it's for physical needs.
I know.
Because they train dogs, and you can get grants and get a dog for free, a small dog that helps you see an eye dog.
I'm not saying anything else.
Well, now these little ponies.
They're small.
These little ponies are about the size of a.
I've never heard
what are
of
they, 25 C- pounds or
CNI
something.
CNI pony.
they're little miniature ponies. They are, but they got anyway.
I told you the top of their head or something like that is like a yard tall.
Yeah, so they are very small.
And I guess if you had like a German Shepherd or something like that, that you needed, it'd be similar size. So, folks who are listening and watching, we're not making fun of disabilities. We want to make that clear.
Some people actually have to have that. Yeah, service animals is what they.
But Melinda, I am going to say, it was drifting towards harsh.
Yeah,
and I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive to this kind of thing.
That's what I'm saying. We may come across as people who are hardened.
Right.
You know,
I'm just teasing
because
Melinda.
Of what we do, but
we're easily melted.
Well,
yes,
We have feelings too. That's what I'm saying. And sometimes it can go the opposite way. Ed can get triggered.
Yes. Now, Kathy's letting you have it, Walker.
Uh-oh.
So she says, incorrect, Walker. People often cannot get grants. They're expensive. So, listen, I think we're just moving off this subject.
We need to stop right now. We clearly don't know what we're talking about.
I
only brought it up because when I read a headline that says horses are getting on the airplane with me, I react,
yes,
and I react in a negative way, and so maybe I should have known.
And I want to say to Debbie and Melinda and Kathy, we love our listeners.
We do.
I was just playing about being triggered or whatever.
Chris Woodward's over here.
So Chris, you better have your story straight.
No stories about service animals or hurt feelings animals or anything like that. We need some hard news.
Chris. I can't promise there won't be hurt feelings, but that's just, you know, part of the job.
Or animals that save you from
hurt. I'm giving thumbs up to some of our Facebook people who said I'm their favorite. So
okay. Feed that ego, Ed.
Feed the ego.
Huh? You want a little horse now?
No.
Over there with you?
You had to go back to that, didn't you?
Yeah. You had to go back to that.
Go ahead, Chris. That was not a good segment for us.
All right. Well, this was a story that we did just feature at the top of the hour in one of our newscasts. But for those watching online, they wouldn't have heard it. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. This is an update to something that began several years ago under the Obama administration. Yesterday, the Trump administration's Department of Labor said it was issuing a proposed rule that will allow religious organizations to have contracts with the federal government while still being allowed to operate according to the organization's religious beliefs. I want to do some sound here. This is First Liberty Institute attorney Mike Berry, and he says his lawsuit is very encouraged by the department's proposed rule.
Prior to this proposed rule, it was still somewhat an open question, and unfortunately, the Obama administration took a very narrow and restrictive view of religious liberty when it came to these types of, you know, employment decisions and practices by contractors. So we applaud the Trump administration for protecting religious liberty and for ensuring that those who do business with the federal government don't lose their constitutional rights just because they have a contract with the government.
Just to put some context with it, this would allow, let's say, a Salvation Army or a Red Cross or any kind of, you know, religious ministry, not necessarily even Christian, to basically operate according to their religious beliefs and still have a contract or even subcontract with the federal government. Do you guys have any concerns?
Well, because
at all?
That was what the Obama administration had started. Mm-hmm. If you're not all in on LGBTQ,
right,
RST, then you don't get you can't have a contract with the government.
Right.
Just shut them down. You just can't. And so there are a lot of businesses that rely on those kind of contracts. So the Trump administration's absolutely doing the right and constitutional thing.
Yeah. And this falls right in line with Supreme Court precedent. You know, and the left is all about Supreme Court precedent. It's the thing we need to go by until it conflicts with their agenda. But, you know, the Supreme Court ruled last year about, I forgot the state, but the church was applying for a grant for new playground materials. It was basically rubber flooring.
I think that was a Lutheran school.
Yeah, they wanted a grant to basically renovate their playground, and the grant was available, supposedly, to everyone, secular or religious.
Right. And it was just to protect children.
Sure, it wasn't to purchase Bibles,
right,
or to go on a mission trip. It was for flooring on the playground.
Right.
Well, you know, they ended up winning that case at the Supreme Court, but that ties directly into this, and that is, just because you're religious doesn't mean you're disqualified from partnering,
right,
or using government resources.
Right.
Yeah. Now, there is a public comment period about this proposed rule. It's not law. It's not even a regulation. But there is going to be a public comment period on this through, I think, mid-September. So we'll come back to you as to whether or not it actually will be allowed to stand. I would be shocked if it does get rejected.
Right.
Given how the administration has behaved or acted toward religious organizations, not necessarily even Christians.
This is why it matters who you elect to be president.
Yes, it does.
Because they hire people to work in the executive branch of the federal government. This is which one is this?
Department of Labor.
Okay. So, and then they set policies.
Mm-hmm.
You cited President Obama's policies were anti-Christian,
right,
or anti-religious freedom, because you didn't toe the line on whatever it is they said you needed to,
right,
toe the line on, LGBT or whatever. So good for President Trump, good for his administration.
Yeah.
All right, next story.
Well, the Biden campaign reportedly has a plan to cut down on the amount of gaffes that former Vice President Joe Biden has been putting out there on the campaign trail. This is according to The Hill. Biden allies float the idea of scaling back appearances to limit the number of gaffes.
Or you can get him a little horse if you want. You know what I'm saying?
Huh?
Well, I'm
Tim.
Just saying if he needs something to help him with emotional support at a rally.
Tim, a lot of people don't know this, but a service animal is not the same as
duly
a
noted
support animal.
Duly noted. So they're, what they're saying, with in all seriousness,
mm-hmm,
is that former Vice President Joe Biden is making so many gaffes and goof-ups in his speeches that some on his team are saying we need to keep him at home. am I right?
Is that
what you're saying?
That's what the
To limit the
Hill
opportunities for said gaffes.
And here's the thing. He's not even president yet. So if he, how do you expect him to behave himself and do correct foreign policy?
President Trump, who is known for his, you know, his kindheartedness and his, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah, but I'm not believing it.
And his tenderness.
Right.
He said of Vice President Joe Biden, that he had lost his fastball.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
No, I did not.
Yes, yep. President Trump said that Joe Biden had lost his fastball.
Yeah. He also
now, see that's
funny.
That is a President Trump-ism.
Yeah.
I mean that is he in one statement,
right,
has characterized what he thinks is wrong with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And this is not to say, we've said this on the show, I want to make this clear.
Right.
We are not saying, I think Joe Biden is 77, 76 or whatever. If he won the presidency and when he was sworn in, he would be 78, I believe.
Should that happen.
Mm-hmm. We're not saying that 78-year-olds can't, you know, participate in society. My dad, he turns 90 at the end of this month. He's sharp as a tack, still goes to the gym. You know, you can still do it, but this statement that President Trump made, he's lost his fastball, that's a characterization that he's saying Joe Biden is not one of those kinds of people who can still operate at peak capacity when they get to that age.
Right. There is an op-ed on FoxNews.com by Howard Kurtz, who I believe his resume includes some time as a kind of a Democratic Party talking head or commentator. But he said, you know, he quotes the president here as saying Joe Biden has truly lost his fastball. And he goes on to say another day it was, quote, Joe is not playing with a full deck. At this rate, he'll be saying Biden is a few fries short of a Happy Meal.
President Trump said that? Or
No, this is just a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, reference to what they expect
to
hear next.
From, said that?
Mm-hmm, from the president.
All right. Well, we'll see. I don't think that Joe Biden is going to make it
as the nominee.
But on the other hand, he might win by default because there's nobody else out there that's really
right.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Warren's
maybe
starting to catch fire a little bit.
Maybe, but
she had a couple hundred people show up in New Hampshire when she was up there, and it's
right.
Some of these Democratic candidates
and
they
she's
can't
gonna,
piece together.
Elizabeth
50
Warren
people.
Is she's going to pull the librarian vote? Don't you see it? And that's going to make a difference in some of these states.
The librarian vote.
Don't you think?
She has.
That's what I'm saying. She's one of them.
In terms of the stereotypes of librarians.
Yeah.
She does kind of drift in that direction.
And now she's going around telling people, shh. Huh? Telling a lot of voters, shh. All right.
She's gonna erase everybody's library card debt if she's elected. That was bad.
And she'll win the Native American wannabe vote. So you're tallying up some groups right there.
That's right.
What else you got, Chris?
Well,
politics is going to pay
sticking
off.
Sticking with the campaign trail, the field of umpteen candidates seeking the Democratic Party's presidential nomination is getting shorter.
Is it?
Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper.
Say that again, Chris.
Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper.
Say it one more time.
Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper.
Yeah, what about him?
He's going to end his presidential bid today, according
shucks.
To sources. But here's the thing. He's not shying away from politics. He's not going back home to Colorado. Looks like he may actually be running for the U.S. Senate.
Uh-huh.
He would be throwing his field in what's already described as a crowded Democratic U.S. Senate primary for the chance to
got a better chance to win that than he does the presidency.
Right. And to be honest with you, we've already seen calls for Beto O'Rourke to leave the campaign trail and try to run again for Senate, this time against U.S. Senator John Cornyn that's been there for a while.
Beto's not giving it up. He's staying out there.
Yeah, I think one thing that
there's always hope.
Here's one reason why I think Beto's going to stay there at least right now. He's from El Paso, and he's going to use that as reason why he should be elected. I don't know how else to say this, but he's going to try to use that as kind of like a sympathy vote or something.
Well, and I'll say this: if he really wants to go further into public office, he can't run for Senate now in Texas. I wouldn't think after. Become coming out as so anti-gun, you know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe I would think you have a better shot, and he doesn't have much of a
right.
shot at all as far as winning the nomination.
Yeah, that's
for
true.
The Democratic Party, but he's going to run for the Senate seat against John Cornyn in
that's
Texas.
That's what it sounds like
after being
beat by
so
Cruz.
Vocally anti-gun.
Now there was an LA. This is why I think it could people will come to his defense and try to help him get elected there. People from outside the state of Texas. There's an article today on the LA Times that quotes a Hispanic lady who has been a Republican her whole life, she says. And she's finding it very difficult to live in the suburbs because the suburbs have gotten largely liberal. Remember, we've talked about this on this program before, but a lot of people from California and other parts of the country have moved to Texas for whatever reason, jobs, less taxes, whatever else. Maybe their kids are in college and they want to be near them.
Right.
They bring their politics with them. And that's why we've seen bigger blue dots in a red state. And, you know, when you look at it on a map, Texas is becoming purple in a lot of areas.
Yes.
So that could be something, you know, we'll see the LA Times and other people try to make a, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. These people could vote for him. He could win, even though he lost to Ted Cruz, that kind of
thing. Let me ask you guys this. Let's say this is November 1st. I'm talking about 3 months from now, whatever it is. Who do you think the top three Democrats will be left standing for president?
In three months, you're saying?
Uh-huh. I'm just curious who you think.
Oh, I think it'll be Joe Biden.
Okay.
Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
And then I would guess, I would just say, I'm not sure, I'd probably Bernie Sanders if I had to pick three. Kamala Harris would probably be close, but I think those are the top four. That's what I think.
What about you, Walker?
The top four?
Yeah. Did you hear my question, or were you?
Yeah, the top four. Who's going to be the top four candidates when this is all said and done?
Not all said and done, in November.
This November.
Yeah.
For the primary?
All right, I'll repeat the question. Yes. Yes, sir. I'm talking about November 1, 3 months from now, or whenever that is. Who do you think the top three Democrats will be left standing?
I think Biden, Kamala Harris. I think Tulsi Gabbard has some momentum. She's off the campaign trail right now serving, but I think those three.
You don't think Elizabeth Warren has more momentum than Gabbard?
You're asking me to pick three. I think there'll be more than three left in November.
But I'm asking you for the top three.
Yep, I just shouldn't named them.
What about you, Chris?
I would guess Biden, Warren, and Harris, and Pete Buttigieg right there on the outside.
Who?
Looking in. Pete Buttigieg.
Who?
Pete Buttigieg. That's what you
but
pay
no,
me for.
But no Bernie Sanders?
I don't think so. You know,
go ahead.
There have been reports in recent days that his campaign was kind of, you know, falling apart, and he was trying to bring it back together.
All right.
What do you say?
I think we've all agreed. I agree with the three of you guys. Joe Biden will November 1st. Although, again, I don't.
His lead is shrinking.
His lead is shrinking. I guess conventional wisdom says if they can keep him at the House, then maybe he holds on to his lead. Although, what's the old saying? Even bad publicity is good publicity. He's getting his name out there. So Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, I think will team up. I don't know how this is going to happen exactly, but Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, they are identical twins. They are ideological twins. And I just can sort of see somewhere along the way them forming some kind of an
early ticket?
Yeah, to beat Biden. To beat Biden. Warren and Elizabeth Warren and
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. But, all right, and then I think the third one will be Kamala Harris. I think somebody mentioned her as number four.
I mentioned her and Bernie Sanders as
tied
for third.
I think if the nomination were to be today, I would be shocked if it was not a Biden-Harris ticket. And the reason why is because you would get East Coast, West Coast, and yes, they've had their differences, but they would milk that into a, we need to bury the hatchet for the good of the country, racial reconciliation.
I think something like that will happen no matter – If Biden gets the nomination, that means he gets enough delegates to get the nomination. You will see a Biden slash Warren or Kamala Harris.
I do not think it will be two white men.
No, it will not. Will not be Biden and Bernie.
Mayor Pete might be the guy on the end. The guy on the
what's
the
he
VP
polling
nominee.
At though?
That would be a good, pretty good.
He made it over 1%.
He's doing more than 1%, but he's got a lot of fundraising going on.
Well, he's a white guy. It's going to be, if it's Biden, it's going to be Biden and one of those two ladies that I mentioned.
The only way women. I could think it would be two white guys is if Mayor Pete Buttigieg is the VP nominee, and then they would say, well, it's okay because he's a homosexual, therefore it's a minority vote, things like that.
Well, it's going to be interesting. They do not have, there are no, if you're ranking them, if you're on TripAdvisor and all these candidates are a hotel, okay, they're not, nobody's getting over 3 stars.
Right. Well, that's why I say, if Biden wins, gets enough delegates, I'm not sure he can pull that off.
Yeah, we'll see. Biden, but you have to be, if you're a Democrat, the other day, Bill Maher, the vile comedians, what I call him.
Yes, HBO show.
Talk show host, God hater. He certainly hates Christians. But anyway, he said the other day, he said, listen, we're just going to have to put up with these gaffes by Biden.
Because you got to beat Trump.
We got to beat Trump, and Biden's our best choice, and we're just going to have to put up with the fact that he doesn't know Michigan from Ohio.
Right.
He didn't say it like that, but that's the other day, Vice President Biden said, the shootings in what?
Houston and Michigan.
Mm-hmm. He was talking about
El Paso and Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, and you know what, folks? A couple things here. We all, certainly we know this, if you're doing live radio and speaking a lot, you can have gaffes.
Right.
Okay, and you can misspeak, and those things happen. And so everybody makes mistakes like that. So, however, if you're making them on a regular basis, and by regular, I mean at least once a week, and you're a major party's presidential candidate, you are going to start to have people say, he's not sharp.
He's lost his fastball.
He's 78.
Right.
Or 77. I think he's 76, about to be 77.
In November.
And that happens to a lot of people. So there's no shame in that. It's just real life and the way the body and the mind work.
And most 77-year-olds can't be president because of that.
But now if it's kind of scary if you think about it. If somebody were to get into office who is losing it, you know what I'm saying? Losing their mental ability to think quickly and clearly and articulate things. I mean, you got to have a president that's able to do that. Now, with President Trump, he's got some good genes. You may hate his politics, but the man gets up every morning and goes 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. with his blue suit and his red tie.
Eating Big Macs,
and he's take all comers.
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
And goes travel somewhere, speak for 2 hours, then come back and do it again the next
phenomenal.
Day. So he's got some good
makes me tired.
Good genes there, and then golf's on the weekend. So
yes,
all right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you,
Ed.
Yes, sir.
Walker,
glad to be on.
All right, and folks, we appreciate you listening. Our thanks to Brent Creeley, the producer of the show today, and to Fred Jackson. For his 17 words that he contributed.
We didn't give him much a chance.
No, but he had 17 or 18, I counted them.
Right.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Trivia Friday tomorrow.